female Asian American to be named president of the Jacksonville City Council. Good Thursday morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross, and we are always live at 9. Also, never miss a show. Download the WJCT app. Listen to us there anytime or on iTunes. Stream us live right now on our Facebook page as well. And just ahead, a conversation with incoming City Council President Anna Roche. What are your questions for her? Get on the line now, 549-2937. Then later, we've got a few gift ideas for the graduate in your life. Plus, don't miss it, a special treat as we welcome Gilligan's Island star Mary Ann Summers herself. Yes, the actress Dawn Wells will be in studio. Hear why she's in town. All of that and more ahead this morning. But first this hour, it was a controversial vote to find out who might become the next Jacksonville City Council president. Normally, the sitting vice president takes over the top post. This year, it was John Crescenbeny. But this time around, Anna Lopez Broche decided to challenge Crescenbeny for the position. And there was a lot of speculation about this, but in the end, Broche won on an 11-8 vote. Here with more about the drama behind the scenes, the vote, and most importantly, what she has in mind for the next council year, we're pleased to welcome incoming City Council President Designee Anna Lopez Broche. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us. And here's a chance now to connect with the new City Council President before she assumes her post. Give us a call. What are your questions for Anna Broche? It's 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online, send your emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org, tweets to @MelissaInJax, or weigh in on our Facebook page. We're streaming this live there right now. This is the second most powerful position in local government next to the mayor. You're not the first woman to be the city council president, but you're the first woman Asian American. So the first woman of color or of a minority group in this country to hold this post. So it's a big achievement, first of all, and on a number of levels. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And there was some drama behind the scenes, a little bit we heard about, as people were deciding how to vote. Some Democrats crossed the aisle to vote for you. Why do you think that happened?
Well, you know, in terms of drama, it did go down to the night of the final vote. It's not typically decided that late in the game. And, you know, I did have support from a number of areas, but the reality is that both of us did, had support from different parties. And it was a very close vote last year's vice president race. And mm-hmm. I wanted to step up and offer my colleagues a choice in the decision as to who they wanted them to lead them this upcoming year.
And why do you think some members of the council who are not in your party and might have been more inclined to support the Democrat, Mr. Crescenbeny, voted for you instead, a Republican?
Well, I think everyone took the time to make the decision about what they believed was the right decision for the group and for the city. And ultimately, I guess evaluating our behaviors, our demeanor, our decisions, our working relationships of the past and things that we'd done in order to get to the decision that they reached.
And if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with incoming Jacksonville City Council President Anna Broche. Give us a call. Let us know your questions. 549-2937. You're a CPA. You are known as socially moderate. You supported the city's historic HRO bill earlier this year, a fiscal conservative. How will your positions inform the way you lead the council? And what are the biggest issues you're looking at as you begin to assume the presidency?
Well, we've had a lot of momentum in the city in these first 2 years as a council and with our new mayor. A lot of great things happening, lots of jobs, exciting things getting announced, and taking care of the pension reform. So for me, it's about capitalizing on the momentum that we are experiencing and making sure that we're doing the work of the city. And it's a very big city, and we've got 19 council members, all of whom have different interests and desires of what they would like to accomplish. And this is bigger than me. This is the body as a whole. And I'm in the planning stages now of setting up our structure and deciding exactly what that vision is that I want to set forth. I'm going to be mindful and careful not to put forth something that that maybe not everybody's interested. This is about us as a body.
And building consensus. It can be tough sometimes with 19 people in a big area to govern. Now, the African American Democrats that through their support to you voted as a block, it's been reported because they thought you might better be able to help them solve issues in their neighborhoods. When you look at that issue of Jacksonville being a tale of two cities in many respects, how do you see your leadership helping in certain districts where we have problems with poverty, with crime, with infrastructure, just long festering issues that some of your colleagues are now, I guess, looking to you to help them solve?
Sure. You know, as an at-large council member, I don't get the opportunity to be as in touch with some of the districts, and the district council members are representing their areas very well. And what I bring is an ability to understand issues and opportunities for solutions and to help navigate exactly how to make that happen. And so I want to make sure that I am at the table, that everyone that needs to be at the table is there, and that I am facilitating great solutions for my colleagues and for the city. And there are issues that have long been unaddressed, and I look forward to all of us putting some energy in a number of those things that you've already mentioned and more.
And now that the pension situation has been resolved, how do you foresee decisions being made on where public funds will be allocated? What do you see as the most pressing needs?
Well, we have, and the mayor's done an outstanding, he and his team have done an outstanding job the last couple of years in terms of proposing something that touches a lot of different areas and a lot of the challenges that we've experienced. We have, back from the recession in 2008, which the city felt more in its work in 2011, took some major cuts to a lot of services. And so there are quality of life challenges that we're experiencing. And we've got to decide how to come back into those and what's right for the city. What have we been without for quite some time? Without an opportunity to just go back to a certain headcount or a certain service or a certain thing that we did because we did it before. It's got to be right and wise and the right thing for the taxpayers. So I think the group can, along with what the mayor proposes, and then the council in its approval process can walk through that process and decide what those are.
And what do you see are as opportunities for Jacksonville? There, as you mentioned, the last few years have seen a lot of activity.
We have seen a lot of activity, and we've got a number of things happening downtown. We've got we've had a tremendous amount of jobs announcements and opportunities, and I think there's some opportunity to make sure that we it's really about keeping the public safe, providing the quality of life that the taxpayers are expecting, and making sure that we're doing that throughout the entire city. And so I can't pick one particular thing, because as an at-large representative, I just want to see Jacksonville win. I want to see us win, and I want to see us win every time.
And since you're at large, people probably come up to you all wherever you go. What's the most common feedback you get?
You know, do a good job and do what's right. Do what's right for the city. And, you know, I know a lot of people have different definitions of what that means, and that's why the people elected the group that's there, is to listen and to do what's right.
All right, let's go to your calls now for the incoming Jacksonville City Council President, Anna Brochet, 2937. Joe is in Mayport. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Good morning. Congratulations. I was just wondering, how do you address businesses that come in and they get these tax incentives and promise a number of jobs, and then after the honeymoon period wears off with that deal, how do you go back and check and make sure that they're delivering on the jobs they promised in order to get those incentives?
Well, thanks, Joe.
Thank you for that. Congratulations and great question, because we are attracting a lot of companies to Jacksonville, and we are offering incentives in order to make that happen. And there is an accountability system that the city itself, evaluating the number of jobs produced, and who's on that list, and did they deliver on the capital investment and the job creation that was a part of the agreement when the decision was made and when the council at the time supported it. there are regular check mechanisms in place, and the council hears those updates as well.
Do you think the oversight process is adequate? Do you think that it's working as it should?
I think it is working. I hear regular updates, even individually, and we have our council auditor who's also checking the agreements.
549-2937, Conrad in Arlington. Hello, Conrad.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. I represent the concerned taxpayers of Duval County. I am a friend, a long friend of John Crescenbenny for close to 40 years when he was a student at JU, I first met. But anyway, John can be very difficult to deal with sometimes. And I was impressed with the article I picked up and read last night in Folio Weekly by A.G. Gankarski, in which he pointed out some very pertinent data about you're being voted into this office, and that he apparently sees great hope in the fact that, for one thing, you did not fall into lockstep with the mayor and his imaginary numbers, CPA number-crunching, imaginary artifice solution to the pension dilemma with that harebrained tax that we voted through. So, at any rate, I would speak for the concerned taxpayers and say that we hope that you are going to be what he describes as probably being hopefully a devil's advocate to the administration, because they need all they can get. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks, Conrad. Are you going to enact that role?
Well, that's the role that I've taken since I got elected into office, and things have gone reasonably well because things have, on the whole, made sense to me, and that's what I do. I'm an auditor. I check things, and things need to make sense, and I trust that things are going to move forward, and my colleagues are going to join me in that effort.
You are a CPA. You supported the pension reform effort. What did you think of the criticisms of it from folks like Conrad just now, say, with the concerned taxpayers?
Well, we certainly had a number of folks that felt like it, you know, that it didn't meet everything. And I admitted along the way that there were parts of it that weren't things that I liked. Quite frankly, the administration admitted the same thing.
What didn't you like about it?
Well, I don't like bringing back the COLA. You know, I think that there were some changes that were made to help curb the growing unfunded pension liability. At the end of the day, the dedicated funding source for me and a number of other things that were introduced and that the administration put together that were really good were things that could help get a solution, help us track and monitor and get to the security that we need. And it also involved bringing back some parts that were not, that a number of people were glad were removed in the 2015 reform.
What, like what? What?
The COLA.
The COLA, the cost of living adjustment.
So the COLA went back up to 3%. The earnings rate on the drop accounts went back up. So some of the benefits were reinstituted, and at the end of the day, that was in total package because you couldn't piecemeal your up or down. It was up and down of the total package. It was the right thing to do, and it was the right solution.
All right. And if you're just tuning in right now, we are speaking with incoming Jacksonville City Council President Anna Brochet. What are your questions for her? 549-2937. Chrissy is downtown. Hey, Chrissy, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I was hoping to get a little bit of information about what exactly is happening with access to the river. I'm affiliated with a local rowing organization, and we've just been a little disappointed with the current efforts to engage those organizations who actively use the river on a daily, weekly, monthly, everything basis, and get their feedback on how we can better access it from a generic public perspective.
Thanks for that.
Thank you for that question. There, this council year that we are currently under, under Council President Boyer, has been a big waterways activation year where there's been lots of conversation and discussion and action. I myself have been on the Waterways Commission and was responsible for the subcommittee addressing non-motorized activities and had five public meetings inviting people to come and provide ideas. And we provided a report to Council President Boyer to combine with all the other things that are happening in the waterways space. And so that effort will continue. It's not not complete at all. And I look forward to making sure that everything that we've started in the waterways activation space continues into the next council year.
Yeah, that was a big concern of Lori Boyer's. You'll be as focused on that. What about, you mentioned downtown. What about all the effort that's going on now in the urban core? How important is that to you?
It is important. It is it's the heart of the city. And it is the center of activity. And there have been studies and reports before, and other cities have shown how a really strong and healthy heart, a really strong and healthy downtown, have actually contributed to the rest of the city from a tax base, as well as, you know, just being the place from a jobs perspective and being right there in the middle. And so I'm a big supporter and fan of downtown and all that's happening, and I look forward to seeing more and being a part of making more happen.
And how do you see the role of the Downtown Investment Authority sort of independently guiding that? And do you think that more funding needs to be put, more public-private partnerships maybe set up to bolster what's sort of always on the verge of happening, but never quite gets over the finish line? Although we have had some wins, like the opening of the new Daly's Place the other night and some other things. But then on the other hand, you drive by buildings right here in our area, like, say, the Berkman Plaza, still sitting empty after many years. There's a lot of stalled momentum, too.
Well, I do support the Downtown Investment Authority and its existence as an independent authority to ensure that as we change administrations throughout years, that we continue our focus and our momentum on downtown and development. And the reality is that we had, you know, a pretty deep hole to climb out of. There's a lot that needs to take place, and I think that we are making strides. There's a lot of success that we see, and certainly we can point to all the things that still need to happen, but, you know, success breeds success. And capitalizing on that momentum and energy to make sure that we're continuing to move in downtown development is just a good thing for the city overall.
And it's 549-2937. Tom on the west side. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, speaking of holes we need to climb out of, I'm concerned about the financial hole we seem to be drifting into with this proposed billion-dollar dredging project being considered, and some of our funding, like the Tourist Development Fund and the sales tax, being spent well into the future and limiting our options. How are we going to manage to budget this through the future?
Well, we're going to, as we have, take it one year at a time while understanding the future that we're creating and challenging what it is that we're doing and making sure that it makes sense. And not only makes sense now, but makes sense for our future and what we're trying to create as a city and trying to provide in the way of quality of services for the restaurants and the citizens of Jacksonville. So there are challenges, and we need to be mindful of not creating more challenges for ourselves, and there's also a structure that exists that we need to operate within. We've got the departments and the services that we have, and we need to make sure that we're serving the citizens well.
Now, he mentioned the dredging project. You're a CPA. The federal government has kicked in a little money for dredging the St. John's River to accommodate bigger ships. Jacksport wants this. Other political and business leadership have said it's important. Are you on the same page with that? Where will the money come from?
Well, just like I did with pension, and as I approach everything else, I need to understand exactly what it is behind all of the numbers and where the funding is going to come from, to your question, and how that's going to work in order for me to make sure that it makes sense to me and therefore making sense for the rest of the city. And so I've not seen all of that in general. I appreciate and I support economic development, and I want to make sure that we are smart with our resources in this at the same time, including our natural assets, not just our money resources, but our natural assets. And so When I go through the process of evaluating that which gets proposed, I'm going to ask the questions that I need to ask.
You're getting some more about that, by the way. Let's go to Paul in Jacksonville Beach. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
All right, thanks.
Just a quick question along the lines of dredging. The ports up and down the East Coast are all vying for this business. And the business is very competitive. So we're going to spend a lot of money to dredge Jacksport and compete against the other ports on the East Coast. Will this money that we're spending have the ROI in terms of bringing the big ships to Jacksonville? Will that happen?
That's the $380 million question, or whatever it's going to cost. I can't remember the exact price tag. Okay, what about that question?
That is the question. And it's that and a number of other questions and concerns that I've heard that we need to make sure that we can address those questions satisfactorily, mm-hmm. and all the other questions that surround port dredging, and make sure that it's right for the city. And so I can't answer that. I've not seen that myself, and I look forward to hearing the exact proposal and exactly how that gets, proven and shown.
Lots of calls for new City Council President Anna Brochet. Not the president yet. When are you investitured, or when does that happen?
The installation It'll take place on June 29th.
Okay.
At the Times Union Center, and my term officially begins on July 1st.
Gotcha. Taylor at the beaches. Taylor, good morning.
Hi. I have a question for you. Unfortunately, right now I'm dealing with a discrimination issue at a job, being discriminated against because of my age, not because I'm too old, actually, but because I'm too young. I'm curious as to where you stand on age discrimination issues at the job place, and would you be willing to put your name out there as going against people being discriminated against because of their age?
Absolutely not. Discrimination in any form is—I've definitely been on record as saying that I don't tolerate discrimination in any form.
Yeah, you supported the HRO. That was an intense process. What was that like on the council as you were going through all that?
It was there was a lot of emotion, a lot of passion, and a lot of information to walk through. And at the end of the day, for me, it was challenging, and I represent all of Jacksonville, and that's what it was about for me, is representing the entire city. I do as an at-large member. I think in some regards we all do, and that's what led to my decision.
John in San Marco. Hi, John.
Good morning. How are you, beautiful?
I'm good. How are you?
It's always nice to hear you, and I want to thank the new president for her work. I sincerely appreciate the time and the effort that you're giving to this city. I was calling about the human rights ordinance. Do you think it's time for an openly gay person on our city council, and would you work? Businesses now can make a decision whether or not they want to serve us, but would you work with an openly gay person on the council?
Well, I work with all of my colleagues, and I work with and serve a number of people in the community, and so I don't have any tolerance for discrimination. And so, I love the diversity of opinion, experiences that everyone brings to the council, that my colleagues bring to the council in the execution of the work that we do for the city. And so I think it's open for everyone.
I'd say it's a safe bet. There have been gay members on the council, just not openly gay ones, by the way. Plenty of openly gay officials around the country now. And so what are your final thoughts, Anna Brochet, as you get ready to take this position?
I'm really excited about the opportunity. I think that a council president's responsibilities are in three different categories of leading a collegial body in the work that we need to do. My responsibility to make appointments to boards and commissions from a volunteer basis to help the work of the city, and then also to represent the council and the community and with the media, just like today. I'm really excited about the opportunity to work with my colleagues and to appreciate and value them and their input in the process, and for us to work with the mayor to continue the momentum that we were experiencing. Very excited.
Well, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
At the end of the month, Anna Lopez-Brochet will be installed as the new Jacksonville City Council president. Much more still ahead later. Don't miss it as actress Dawn Wells, that's Marianne from Gilligan's Island, steps right into Studio 5. We'll hear all about her new show at the Alhambra. But up next, gift ideas and financial tips for the young graduates in your life. We'll be right back.
Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church is a place to experience Christ's presence and God's Spirit in a vibrant faith community. HAB celebrates diversity, seeks to bridge differences, and journeys together in an honest and authentic search for truth. HABchurch.com. Find a different way of being Baptist.
Coming to 89.9 FM, Sunday, June 4th at 9 p.m., Hotsy Totsy, the program that celebrates the music from the 20s and 30s from the original 78s. Sundays at 9 on 89.9.
Oh, everything is a Hotsy Totsy now.
The Florida Theater is proud to present Hot Sardines, jazz inspired by the 1920s and 1930s. The Hot Sardines live February 13th, 2018, performing songs from their French Fries and Champagne album. More at floridatheater.com.
Welcome back. Well, the end of the school year can be an exciting but often expensive time for many First Coast families. According to the National Retail Federation's survey on graduation spending, the average person spends over $100 on graduation gifts this time of year. That's $5.4 billion spent annually. And while most of us opt for just cash in an envelope, there are some other ideas for your graduate that might even have a bigger impact. Nick Cantrell is with Jack's Federal Credit Union, and he says now is the time to explore some alternative gifts for the graduate in your life and also give them a chance to become financially literate. Hey, Nick, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
It's 549-2937 to join us. Well, I have a couple of graduates I have to buy gifts for in the next week or two, and I was planning to do cash, which isn't ever going to be turned away, but you have some other ideas. What do you recommend besides cash for a graduate?
Well, there's a lot of different ideas. You can do CDs, which certificate of deposits, secured visas will help the graduate get their credit started. Another good idea is to get them in, sit down with a financial advisor to set up some long-term plans.
Mm-hmm.
Another good thing is, you know, help them buy stock in their, you know, favorite company. So if they really like Apple, get them some stock in Apple.
So that they can start to get an understanding of saving and investing.
Correct.
Yeah. And also you support starting a Roth IRA for your graduate. That's a nice gift that we'll keep on giving too.
Absolutely.
These are all great ideas, but let's talk about how all of these build financial literacy, because so many young people just don't have it and they learn it through trial and error. They waste a lot of money in the process.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. You know, right now they're not really teaching it in the school. So, you know, it's up to the parents and to start teaching them. That's what it's all about, is to, you know, show them how to start it the right way. Because as you just said, they're going to waste a lot of money as time goes on by trial and error.
I know I did. And so say they sat down with someone on your team. What would you take them through? Budgeting, savings, goal setting. How would you advise graduates to get started on a plan like this?
Well, we just sit down with them and see what their idea is, what they plan on doing, and then kind of go from there and see, you know, obviously a savings account is best, you know, and then a checking account depending on how they're going to spend their money, educate them on how to balance the checking book. And then if they have excess funds or, you know, a little bit more money maybe from their grandparents or something, look into a CD.
CDs, you know, that's what my grandparents bought me. Those are always going to be popular. But you've got some other products, like you mentioned the secured visa.
Absolutely. Secured visa is a great way to help them build credit early. You know, you put, let's say, $500 into an account, it's secured. They get a credit card. They can't go over that limit. It really helps them understand how to manage their credit, but also not really allowing them to ruin it.
Sure. Because that can, you want to steer them away from high interest rates. When I was in college, I was constantly getting mailers saying, sign up for this visa, you know. with a great big credit limit. Mm-hmm. And it was like a 36% interest.
Right, absolutely. Whenever I was in school, they'd flood the campus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they? And I assume they're still doing that. So you have to advise your graduate to kind of let the buyer beware.
Right. Have to kind of educate them on what credit is. You know, what can they do to strengthen their credit? What can they do that'll ruin their credit?
Now, can they open up a Roth IRA with you pretty easily?
They can, yes, ma'am.
At Jack's Federal? Mm-hmm. And so what's the most popular request you're getting at this time of year for people that want to do something like this for their graduate?
We probably get, you know, a lot of the secured visas. You know, we also encourage open up the savings and the checking account form.
Any other advice you've got?
Nope. You can go online to our website, and we have a lot more different ideas there.
All right. And he's Nick Cantrell with Jack's Federal Credit Union. It's that time of year. Help your graduate become financially literate with your gift. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
In a moment, some weekend ideas plus actress Dawn Wells. Keep listening.
UF Health Proton Therapy Institute, supporting their cancer-free mission through proton therapy since 2006 right here in Jacksonville. Proton therapy treats cancer with minimal to no side effects. More information can be found online at floridaproton.org.
Landstar. When you encounter aggressive drivers, get out of the way. Avoid eye contact, ignore gestures, and think FIDO. Forget it and drive on. Landstar, a safety-first provider of integrated transportation management solutions worldwide. The Chartrand Foundation is proud to support the Jacksonville Public Education Fund's efforts to acknowledge and recognize Duval County teachers. To learn more about JPEF's teacher recognition programs, jaxpef.org.
ViStar Credit Union, focused on delivering quality service to its members while remaining financially strong. ViStar, we never forget that it's your money. Information available at 777-6000 or vistarcu.org.
Lewis Longman & Walker, a Florida law firm focusing on environmental, land use and development, governmental and public finance law. Offices in Jacksonville and statewide. Learn more at llw-law.com. Lewis Longman & Walker. See things differently.
Community First Credit Union supports the community you live in, proudly partnering with local organizations like the Florida Theater. Learn more about why Community First specializes in auto loans in person or online. Community First, love where you bank. NCUA insured.
Buchanan, Ingersoll & Rooney, a national business law firm offering legal know-how from the boardroom to the courtroom and legislative connections from Tallahassee to Washington, D.C. with offices in Jacksonville, throughout Florida and nationally, online at BIPC.com. The City of St. Augustine presents Concerts in the Plaza Thursdays at 7 p.m., June, July, August, all summer long. Open to the public, provide your own seating. Plaza de la Constitución, historic downtown St. Augustine. Schedule and other info at concertsintheplaza.com.
Welcome back. Well, this Saturday, it's your chance to tour some of the city's most beautiful ponds and gardens in private homes across town. Earthworks is sponsoring this free tour. It's a chance to meet other gardeners, share some tips, and discover cool new ideas for your outdoor space. Here with a preview, we welcome Kevin Counts, Pond and Garden Tour Planner at Earthworks. Good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good. And also with us, Mary Fisher of Mary Fisher Designs. Her waterfall garden is featured on the tour. Look at you, Mary Fisher.
Thank
you. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I can't wait to hear about what we're going to see at your place, Mary. But first, Kevin, let's begin with you. This is a passion for so many homeowners. They really want to show off what they've done in their outdoor space. This is a way for people to check it out. Tell us about the tour.
So basically, it's this Saturday, June 3rd, from 10 to 5. It's just a tour of, you know, some of our unique ponds and gardens that we have all around Jacksonville. It's just a perfect time to go out and get ideas if you want to kind of create a pond yourself, or if you want to hire us to come out there and build one for you. It's just a good way to get ideas. Our shop will have a pond tour map on our website. The website is earthworksjacks.com. You can go on there and download it, or if you decide to come into our garden shop, which is really unique, you can definitely come and get a copy from there. We're going to be giving out 100 succulents for the first 100 people that come by and grab a map. We're going to have huge sales going on that day, and you get to walk around our garden shop as well. But it's a really good opportunity to see some great ponds that some of our homeowners have.
Very cool. One of them is Mary Fisher. People around town know you as, of course, the owner of Mary Fisher Designs. You've got a waterfall garden, is that right?
I do. Earthworks built my built my pondless water feature a couple of years ago, and it's quite unusual because it's got three Mongolian basalt columns, which are beautiful vertical formations, and it's pondless, which means that it just has recirculating water. And we chose that so that I live out at Queens Harbor, where you have a lot of wildlife, and I didn't want the wildlife eating the fish out of the bottom of the pond. So it just recirculates, and it's quite beautiful and tranquil.
And having a water feature in your outdoor space can be an incredible and really therapeutic type of thing. Is that what you find?
It's my backyard paradise. Indeed, it's sometimes I feel like I don't even have to go on vacation. I can just sit in the back and listen to it. It's quite beautiful.
Pretty soothing. And so let's explain then, Kevany, this is free, but all of these spots on Saturday, they're in all parts of town, right?
They are, yeah. The tour is completely free. Majority of the pond tour is going to be on Southside, but we do pretty much have locations everywhere. You don't necessarily have to complete the whole map. If you live on the north side, we have a few houses on the north side. We have a few houses in Orange Park. We have a lot, like I said, on the south side and a few at the beach as well. So there is a little bit of some ponds out there for everybody around town.
All right. It's going to be hot, but hopefully sunny and a good day for it.
Yep. Wear your hats and drink lots of water.
Yeah. And meet Mary Fisher, which, hey, that's always fun. That's always
you.
A good thing. You can check out all of these spots on the free tour this Saturday by going to earthworksjax.com. This is the first annual such tour of its kind, too, isn't it?
Well, it's technically the fifth annual.
The fifth annual. And obviously, I was completely wrong.
Yes, but we're growing and growing every year. So definitely come out if you've never heard of it or want to experience something just different to do on Saturday. Great thing to do.
Earthworksjax.com. Kevany Counts and Mary Fisher, have fun out there. Thanks for being with
us.
Thank
you
so much. Thanks, Melissa.
Some more ideas for your weekend in just a moment.
Coming to 89.9 FM, Sunday, June 4th at 9 p.m., Hotsy Totsy, the program that celebrates the music from the 20s and 30s from the original 78s. Sundays at 9 on 89.9.
Oh, everything is a Hotsy Totsy now.
The Florida Theater is proud to present Hot Sardines, jazz inspired by the 1920s and 1930s. The Hot Sardines live February 13th, 2018, performing songs from their French Fries and Champagne album. More at floridatheater.com.
Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church is a place to experience Christ's presence and God's Spirit in a vibrant faith community. HAB celebrates diversity, seeks to bridge differences, and journeys together in an honest and authentic search for truth. HABchurch.com. Find a different way of being Baptist.
Buchanan, Ingersoll, and Rooney, a national business law firm offering legal know-how from the boardroom to the courtroom and legislative connections from Tallahassee to Washington, D.C. With offices in Jacksonville, throughout Florida, and nationally, online at BIPC.com.
Landstar. Construction zones can be deadly. To safely navigate construction zones, slow down, stay alert, be patient. Expect the unexpected and watch for construction workers who may be dangerously close to traffic. Landstar, a safety-first provider of integrated transportation management solutions worldwide. Tidbits. Family-owned and operated since 1985. Specializing in corporate catering and lunch at two locations, Bay Meadows Road and Hendricks Avenue. Menu and catering information at clarastidbits.com. Tidbits. Fresh, local lunch.
Buchanan, Ingersoll, and Rooney, a national business law firm offering legal know-how from the boardroom to the courtroom and legislative connections from Tallahassee to Washington, D.C. With offices in Jacksonville, throughout Florida, and nationally, online at BIPC.com. The City of St. Augustine presents Concerts in the Plaza Thursdays at 7 p.m., June, July, August, all summer long. Open to the public. Provide your own seating. Plaza de la Constitución, historic downtown St. Augustine. Schedule and other info at concertsintheplaza.com.
Today's segment with Carrie Speckman is brought to you in part by Blue Bamboo Asian Kitchen.
Welcome back. In just a moment, actress Dawn Wells. But first, lots of ideas happening out there for your first weekend in June. Here she is every Thursday to take us all around town. We welcome the mistress of mayhem, the maven of mirth, thespectator.com's Carrie Speckman is here today.
Yay, that's me.
And
And I'm always excited to see you.
Oh, whoa. But, we're going to keep partying.
But I know we're going to keep partying. I'm always excited to see you.
It's always a party.
You, but, you know, I'm going to truncate your segment so that we can talk to Dom Wells.
Understood.
Okay.
Understood.
What's happening this weekend?
Today, this is just kind of an unusual thing I wanted to bring to someone's attention. It's a latte art competition.
Really?
You know when you get your coffee and they have a little fancy flower or whatever, that doesn't just happen by chance.
They have an art to that.
It's an art.
And the way they design the foam on the top.
Some of the Southeast most...
The best baristas?
Yes. I've never heard it pronounced baristas. Is that how...
Barista?
I don't know.
I have no
You're
idea.
You're smarter than I am.
No, I'm not.
Anyway, it's at Vagabond Coffee.
Okay,
that's... have a competition. I just thought
latte art competition tonight.
There is the Jacksonville Spring Encore United States Equestrian Federation competition, which is free at the Equestrian Center. Love, Loss, and What I Wore, which is an intimate, witty, and poignant evening of reminiscence that transcends fashion and celebrates the life stories we all have to share.
Dawn Wells is nodding. She's heard of it.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
We did it.
Okay.
Oh, there
right,
you go.
So that's Friday through Sunday.
That's to benefit ABET.
At ABET. Okay. Miracle on Ashley Street is Friday for the Clara White Mission.
Yes.
That's downtown Jacksonville.
Yes, where local media personalities and politicians. I believe Anna Broche is serving.
Now, the Armada plays Saturday at UNF Stadium. Also, Friday night at Mavericks, it's J. Cole. Very
yes,
cool.
Yes, J. Cole. Cole, cool. J. Cole, Cole.
Okay, now I want to talk quickly about Be My Neighbor Day Saturday.
So do I.
Saturday here at WJCT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you talk about it? You just said you want to talk about it. You
We're going to have Clifford, Buddy the Dinosaur, Princess Presto. This is WJCT's first.
Katarina Kitty Cat.
Katarina the Kitty Cat. Be My Neighbor Day. Everyone is invited to come here to WJCT. You're going to get a behind-the-scenes tour. You get to visit Daly's Place across the street. You're going to learn all about what we do here at WJCT.
And let me just say, I watched for the very first time Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood.
Oh, really?
Well, because I am a lifelong Mr. Rogers fan, and
sure.
I didn't quite understand. It was very interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
I even learned a song.
Exactly. So, this is going to be an opportunity for public media supporters to just kind of come out and hang out with us for the day.
If you want to do the Daly's tour, you do need to sign up. What happened to my voice?
I don't know. You're losing your voice.
If you want to do the Daly's tour, you have to sign up.
Okay.
By tomorrow. It's free.
All right. And then Saturday night, it's a night with the stars at WJCT. Also, this benefits Elder Source.
That is correct.
And local favorites Flagship Romance are
yes.
having a show. If we have a little bit of their music as well. This is where... Now, where is this going to be, Carrie?
It's a pop-up show. That's my favorite song. Good job, Ryan. It's a pop-up show.
Okay,
it's in Jacksonville Beach. I guess when you buy your tickets, they'll tell you.
All right, so an element of surprise there. All
yes.
right, are you excited because Dawn Wells is here?
Hello, yeah, of course.
I know. Did you grow up watching Gilligan's Island?
Doy, yeah. Of course I did.
Yeah.
What do you mean, no? Of course, I'm... Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm,
me
and
too.
Not that...
Me too. And it's really exciting because Dawn Wells, who's had an amazing career in Hollywood, after 30 years, she is making her return to Jacksonville and the Alhambra Theater. Wells is starring as Ouiza Boudreau in the beloved tale of Southern womanhood, Steel Magnolias. Now, her many fans, of course, also remember Dawn as Marianne from the classic sitcom Gilligan's Island. Actually, I didn't know this. Her character's full name was Marianne Summers. So there's a little Gilligan's tidbit for you. A pleasure to welcome Dawn Wells to Studio 5. So good to meet you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. This is my first time to Jacksonville since how many years ago that was.
I guess it's been 30 years.
Yeah, and it's grown, I'd say.
I know. It must have been a different city when you were here in, what, 87?
I guess so. I was counting the years. I can't believe I'm that old.
Oh, you don't. You look about the same.
Exactly. Exactly.
You
it's radio.
Age.
I look better than you even thought.
No, you really don't age. I mean, and this is so exciting for fans. They're going to get to see you on stage in Steel Magnolias. You're playing Ouiza.
I'm playing Ouiza.
I wouldn't have guessed you'd do that part.
That's the most fun, I think. Well, I've done Malin before, years and years ago. But
I would
this
have
is
thought of you
fabulous,
as Malin, yeah.
Fabulous cast. Wonderful theater. It's quite an experience. I'm very proud to be here.
Now, tell me why they cast you as Ouiza, because she's sort of the cantankerous one in Steel Magnolias, and I think people think of you as very pleasant person.
Exactly.
So they cast against type.
Well, of course, as an actress, you want to do something.
Yes.
Like it. The first thing I did after Gilligan's Island was The Owl and the Pussycat.
That's right.
Marianne, you know. Marianne yeah. is easy. Yeah. It's much more fun to do something with a little character.
Yeah. And do you like doing live theater?
Very much.
What
Very
do you like much. About it?
The instant reaction. I mean, it really is. It's never the same every night. When you do film, it's set, and that's the way it is. But this is, things happen. You break a cup or learning the lines or all of that kind of stuff. It's live, and the audience is, you have to play the audience. You know, if they're having a bad day or if the weather's bad, and by the time they get here, they're cranky, and
right.
you escape. It's person to person. Television or movies, you never contact the person itself. And then afterwards, we shake hands. It's yeah. I like it very much.
Yeah, the energy of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've done a lot of roles over the years, but of course I know people love to ask you about Gillian. We have the theme music, too, I believe, that we can play. Everybody knows the song. Everybody knows that Carrie will sing along.
Sing along. I want to hear it.
Now, we looked up some interesting trivia about Gilligan's Island.
Oh, my gosh. Don't ask me.
Well, it's about you.
Okay.
We learned that you are the only actor who was smart enough to sign a contract that guaranteed you payments beyond the...
Wrong.
That's not true?
Wrong, not true at all. Huffington Post said I made $1 million. Wrong.
Really?
We don't get paid for a dime on those reruns.
What?
Really? No. Uh-huh.
That's terrible.
Never been off the air since 1964. We aren't raking in the bucks at all.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I don't think you knew. In that day and age, you didn't know what reruns were. You didn't know where it was going to go. You had no idea. It's all over the world in every language.
Yeah, it's never been off the
uh-uh.
air.
I've been in the Solomon Islands with no running water, no electricity, and the chief's wife went, I know you. I mean, it's
wow.
astounding. Critics hated us. Public yeah. loved us.
Oh, forever and ever. I mean, and all of you were so good in your roles. You
Perfect.
Were so good in your roles. In fact, I read that... when Sherwood Schwartz was casting it, he knew you were Marianne right away, but that he wanted some other people for some of the other roles, like he wanted Jerry Van Dyke for Gilligan. And,
but he didn't want me right away. I tested with 350 other girls. Who writes this stuff?
So none of this is true.
None of this is true. But well, I auditioned day after day after day. There maybe were 50 or 60 girls a day, and they would eliminate. It was down to five or six of us. Raquel Welch was up for Marianne.
Wow. Friends.
She'd have been a better Ginger, I think, than a Marianne.
Yeah.
I don't know how the others were cast. I know they went for Bob, and I asked Bob first, and Alan Hale was doing a Western in Utah, and they wanted him to audition. He hitchhiked from the set to come in and read for Sherwood Schwartz.
I read that too, but uh-huh. so that would actually
that
is
was
a true,
true
tidbit.
Yeah.
I also heard that when you filmed the pilot, it was right around the time JFK was assassinated, so that kind of slowed up the pilot shoot.
The reason that Mrs. Howell took the role was she thought she was going to Hawaii to make the pilot. She didn't think it would sell. But you see the boat leave in the morning in the credits, and you'll see the flag is at half-mast.
Wow. Now, I also read that you were close with Natalie Schaefer, who played Lovey.
Very much. She was a lovely woman.
Yeah,
lovely lady.
And that you had a friendship with her. You even cared for her when she got sick, right?
No.
No? That's not true either?
I want to know who writes. Well, I mean, I cared for her, but she was not ill very long.
She passed away.
Passed away pretty quickly. But she was single, and she was fun, and kind of very much a Lovey. She was.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was quite a lady. We all got along really well, and I think that the chemistry shows.
I think that's why it's so beloved, mm-hmm. and it's why you're beloved. I mean, now even though you didn't get the residuals, that sort of notoriety, I think, has the love the fans have for you
it's a good
led
thing.
To other things over the years.
Yes, it's a double-edged sword. People know me all over the world, whatever that means, and it was a mm-hmm. wonderful experience because the show was loved, and yet it takes time to break that character. I can do something besides a Marianne. So I went right back and did Owl and the Pussycat and played a hooker.
<That's>
to
so
show
funny.
You there's more to me than that. No, I mean,
you
always kind of try to want to branch out. But I'm blessed to have something like that, to be cast yeah. in a role that's made such a difference in television forever.
I've heard you are the one and still to this day get the most fan mail of anybody.
Yes. I think it's girls and boys both right, see.
Yeah, there was just something about your character and your essence, your spirit, I think, that really touched a lot of people.
I would have been a best friend. Marianne would have been your best friend. Maybe your first date. Maybe your first kiss. But she would have been your best friend. There was no jealousy between girls that happens sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a beloved woman.
Now, when you go around and you do theater, like at the Alhambra, does it freak people out at first when they see you on stage?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Like, not in this day and age. Maybe 20 years ago. I mean, I was here 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's a great play, by the way. Wonderful cast. Wonderful director. It really is. It's written by a man, which tickles me because we're all women sitting here, and you know what we think and what we do, and he's written it.
Do you do the Southern accent? Is everyone real?
Just a touch.
Just not a little bit.
Some of us more than others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, of course, not everyone's seen the play. For those that have maybe seen the movie, not the play, your part is the one that was played by Shirley MacLaine in the film. Mm-hmm. And she's my favorite character.
She's cranky. Yeah.
Yeah. I love her.
I love her
in that. I love Ouiza. And I love the line when Clary says, "Ouiza, you've got the handwriting of a serial killer."
Could so we classic. Cast you?
It's so classic. It's like that just describes her to a T,
exactly.
But she's got such a good heart underneath.
But she's irascible.
Yes.
Cranky.
Very.
She's too thin. She's not eating enough.
Do you have
That's
to...
not me, however.
No, do you wear a wig in this show?
Oh, sure. I'm a redhead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you wear a redheaded wig.
Mm-hmm. Don't tell them that. They think it's natural.
Oh. Well, it's just so exciting to meet you. And you
I
know.
Like your job. If I had something to do, I would like to do what you do.
It's a good job.
Every day it's different, isn't it?
Yeah, and I get to meet amazing people like you. What could be better?
You have to be sharp. You have to know what's going on in the world. All those things.
Yeah.
Every day is a different day. I think that's very exciting.
Thanks. Yeah, it is. And it's exciting to meet you. And I want to encourage everyone to get their tickets now because the show is going on now at the Alhambra Theater. It's Steel Magnolias starring Don Wells as Ouiza in this classic production. Have a great time. And thank you so much for being with us. We're all excited to meet you in person.
Well, you too. And say hello when you come see me.
That's our show today. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Kevin Mershart. Michelle Corum runs the board. The show theme is composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony's Pyotr Chepchik. Never miss a show. Download the WJCT app to listen anytime. Next on 1A, how does the U.S. missile defense system work and will it work when lives are at stake? I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT FM Jacksonville. Your community, your world. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.